You want to start?
Yeah, I'll start.
You start. Okay.
Starting. So Jonah Hill's directorial debut comes out this week, mid-90s. It's quite good. Bradley Cooper had A Star Is Born just a couple weeks ago, and that was quite good.
I'm seeing a theme here.
Actors turn directors. Let's talk about it.
From Hollywood to the Midwest, it's the Cube Critics Podcast.
It's not actually that new of a phenomenon.
No.
It's been happening for a while.
No. That's why people can find things to watch at home, and you're going to recommend some.
Okay. Well, I'm going to break the rules.
Oh, jeez.
Because you're
going to recommend ones to avoid, or?
That's a good idea. Don't see this movie. No, I actually want to recommend a director and then talk about a couple of the films that they've made. I want to start with Sarah Polley.
Mm-hmm.
Who is her acting resume goes back to when she was a child, and she's been in all sorts of things since. She was in one of the Dawn of the Dead movies. I mean, a little bit of everything.
She was. That's right. She's a great actress, and she was in Go.
Yes,
and she featured in the trailer heavily in the movie Go, and her face just is so alive. She's great.
Anyway. She has become this. She does everything. I mean, she was actually the writer and the producer on Alias Grace, the very dark.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. No, dark
thing about a notorious murder case from Canada. But she has made a series of movies, very different movies, as a director, which are all quite fascinating. Away From Her is a story about a woman who is suffering from dementia, played by Julie Christie. Stories We Tell, a documentary.
Which is mind-bogglingly
good. And it is
It is so good.
In part because it's about her own family and a mystery within her own family about whether or not her father was really her father.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk about Take This Waltz.
I love Take This Waltz.
Take This Waltz, which is a drama about a couple, starts off as a couple struggling with whether they want to get married, and then the woman going off and having an affair, and then really trying to decide which waltz she's going to take.
Yeah.
And it's, it is beautiful. It is funny. It is so heart-wrenching at moments, too. And just very, very real-seeming.
Yeah.
Just pretty extraordinary. And then you learn that Seth Rogen and Sarah Silverman are both in the film. And you think, oh, be a laugh, right? No, they're doing a really good job.
They do a fantastic job.
Straight actors. And it's Michelle Williams. In the lead character, and it's just I can't recommend it enough.
No, I love that movie so much. And the other thing that I, whenever I think about it, I think about the sense of place and the environment that these couples are living in, kind of a boho Canadian loose-knit group of friends and family, and it also has an amazing God. What is this? There's a party where the guy that she's been flirting with shows up, and they play a Leonard Cohen song, but it's done by, what's that Canadian lady with the one name? Feist. And it is just this great dance song. It's so, and I've been looking for that song, just the recording of that version by Feist, and you can't find it anywhere. I found like one little MP3 of it, and that's it. And if Feist is listening, please release that.
Yes.
I love that movie. That's a great recommendation.
I'm sure she listens to the Cube Critics podcast.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's nice.
So that's a good one. That's right. So,
all right. I would like to discuss another woman film director who's one of the greatest film directors of all time, who started off in that most amazing of genres, the mountaineering movies. Leni Riefenstahl, one of the, an astonishing person who got a lot of attention in like the early 90s again. I mean, you see her in film courses, her Olympiad and Triumph of the Will, which are both
We should say, she did not make these films in the early 90s. She was making these films.
She made them about with the cooperation of Adolf Hitler and the Nazis. And she makes the Nazis look super awesome. In The Triumph of the Will, when they're the clouds, the plane is arriving, and Adolf Hitler's arriving to come to a stadium and speak, and you just see them descending like they're gods, and you know, instead of a tiny little evil man. And then Olympiad was about the Olympics in Germany, and just rewrote how people would film scenes and light things and try to make a documentary. Gorgeous, gorgeous movies. But she had started out as an actress. And this was at a time when, you know, we think of like Hollywood and then foreign films. When we think about foreign films, we think about artsy things because mm-hmm. that's what we end up bringing over. But there were film companies and film industries in all kinds of countries that were flourishing. And one in Germany, they had a lot of mountaineering films where mm-hmm. there'd be someone in danger and there'd be scenes of mountain climbing. And it was she was in them, and she was mm-hmm. a star of these mountaineering films. And then she moved on to directing. And I have no idea how that leap that she made from in front of the camera to behind the camera is one of the greatest leaps ever taken. And boy, did she mess it up though with her to say,
well,
you know. And then she lived until she was like 100 or something.
Yeah.
And in the early 90s, there's a documentary made about her, and then there was a giant biography made about her that came at the same time. So people and she was still alive and very willing to talk and trying to deny her Nazi past, and whether you believe she. It was just an artist who was working there. You know, I leave it up to you.
Who was offered lots of money.
I feel like she made a poor choice. But the art is incredible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Olympiad. See Olympiad.
I'm going to go for the elusive local connection here, being that we're sitting here in Minnesota.
Go for it.
We have to talk about Tom McCarthy, who, of course, was an actor here.
What?
Tom
McCarthy. What are you talking about?
Tom McCarthy, the Oscar-winning director,
yeah.
worked here in the Twin Cities for 2 or 3 years
really?
As an actor.
Where? Just like bumming around little theaters? Or
I think he was at the Guthrie for a while.
Huh.
But
I had no idea.
Yeah. So, and he then went on and made a whole bunch of other...
Mm-hmm. A couple movies that I love.
Well, in movies that he acted in. And then, of course, he was in The Wire.
Mm-hmm.
As the reprehensible journalist.
And you, I don't know why I didn't check it. I remember you brought him in because you were interviewing him about some movie. And you're like, Tom McCarthy. And I had no interest in Tom McCarthy because I did not like his debut.
Station Agent.
Did not like The Station Agent. And I felt like his follow-up was like, meh, meh. But then Win-Win won me over.
Yes.
But, so I really hadn't paid attention to him. And I didn't even know he is an actor. And then you came up and introduced me to him, because you always do that. You bring by people that I do not want to meet and make me and say hello to them. There's nobody I want to meet.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I admire them, I have nothing to say to you.
But he's a nice guy. He is a genuinely nice guy.
I did the thing that everybody does, because you look up and you see him, and the first thing you go is, oh my God, you're that guy. And then I told him, like, I just see you and I kind of hate you, because he was so despicable and spineless and weaselly in The Wire.
Yeah, yeah.
Which means he's a good actor.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that he's a weasel in real life.
Yeah.
Anyway, talk about his movies.
So
I'm talking too much.
Yeah, although, I mean, as he told us then, that even years after The Wire was finished,
mm-hmm.
About once a week someone would stop and just make him apologize for being such a horrible human being. Anyway, of course, he was nice. Well, you're talking about me, and I'm in a TV series with Omar. The guy.
Omar's wonderful. Oh,
yeah, except that he kills people.
Yeah, he kills people.
Yes, anyway. So he has made a series of wonderful films,
mm-hmm.
And including Win-Win. And, of course, he made Spotlight.
Yeah, which is great. Did you see the Adam Sandler, the magical shoemaker
movie? That's the one
movie?
I wanted to talk about. No, I didn't actually. Okay. That's the one I haven't seen because it got so...
It got trashed.
Trashed. But I
should take time to watch it, though.
Yes, I should too. I wanted to talk about The Visitor, which maybe was the one that you didn't like.
Yeah, it was like, okay. It was, yeah. I thought it was a little heartwarming.
Good.
Kind of a cheesy way. But I mean, everybody else who listens to public radio loves that movie.
Yeah.
So I'm in the wrong here. Maybe I'd like it now. After I saw Win-Win, I loved it so much. Maybe I'd watch it with new eyes.
Yes. This is a story about a professor at a small, kind of beautiful college on the East Coast, and he has a pied-à-terre in New York, and which he goes to every, few weeks or whatever, and he comes in one day and discovers that there's a family has moved into his house, and it's a family of African refugees who are basically on the run from immigration, trying to find out how they are going to get to stay, really, because they want to get away from a wretched situation in their home country. And he's one of these guys who kind of talks a good game but has never actually had to face anything in reality. And he's appalled at first, but then they become friends, and he begins trying to advocate for them, trying to help them. And it is kind of heartwarming in some ways, but it's also ultimately gut-wrenching. I mean, there's a lot of hard issues talked about in this movie, and it starts off, well, it's about immigration, but really it's about privilege. Mm-hmm. It's really about being kept insulated from the difficulties of the people who are living right beside you. And it's not a huge movie. There's no car chases or anything in it.
No.
There's a certain amount of drumming happens in it.
There is. It's true.
Well, maybe that's what you were
really
reacting to.
I really think about the drumming a lot.
Maybe that's what you were reacting to, because the professor gets in touch with himself through the drumming, which he learns from the Africans. But I think you should go see it again.
I think it might have been the self-realization through drumming that really stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch somebody's films and they echo something else you've seen of theirs.
Yes.
And I was watching The Visitor and just kept thinking about how much I hated The Station Agent, and now I don't like this one either. But if I go back and watch it with Win-Win in mind,
yes,
maybe I will be more generous in my feelings toward The Visitor.
But my argument is that with Tom McCarthy and with Sarah Pauley, you can go and find a filmography, and with the proviso that neither of us have seen The Cobbler yet, you can basically pick anything that they have directed, and you're probably on with that for a good time.
All right.
Okay, so your last one.
My last one, Warren Beatty. Okay, you say Warren Beatty, you're like, oh, God, what a self-important bore of a filmmaker. I mean, Rules Don't Apply, Dick Tracy, Bulworth, Reds. Mm-hmm. Like, Dick Tracy and Bulworth are like just no charm to them, no nothing. And Reds is so self-important, and like, this is an important movie.
And it's three hours long.
But his directorial debut, Heaven Can Wait, is a complete delight.
This is
In which he stars as Joe, a guy who had been a football player, who dies, and then somehow, yada yada, comes back to Earth in the body of a multimillionaire. But you don't see him. You see that guy dies, and then Joe's spirit goes into him, but it's still played by Warren Beatty. And this guy is married to a woman who is having an affair behind his back and wants to kill him, played by Diane Cannon. And then Charles Grodin plays her lover, who's trying to arrange that too. And Warren Beatty wants to get back into football, and he tries to convince his old coach that even though he doesn't look like Joe still, it is him, and he starts training. Also, he falls in love with Julie Christie, because who wouldn't fall in love with Julie Christie? And Charles Grodin's trying to murder him. It is a silly, like, screwball comedy, and it is so much fun and so light on its feet. And Warren Beatty, I do believe, plays the flute in it. Is it the flute? He plays a flute and plays football. And it's completely delightful. And the love story is great. And it is wonderful to see Diane Cannon just playing a really selfish, horrible woman who's baffled by her much-loathed husband's changed behavior. Wonderful.
Many years ago, when I was working at another radio station here in town, I was working as a producer on a talk show, and we would put out phone calls to people, try and get them to come on for 15 minutes. And we were having a production meeting, actually sitting around eating our lunches, talking about stuff, when the phone rang. One of the other producers picked up the phone, looked a little startled, and said, "Ewan, it's Warren Beatty on the line for you."
And I've never heard this story.
Yeah, and so what had happened was I can't even remember what it was. He'd made some statement about not wanting to make certain kinds of movies anymore, and how Hollywood was soulless or something. I mean, something that actually wasn't that controversial, but it was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. And so the hosts said, "You know, see if you can get him on the line." So I hit Warren. I called Warren's people, not expecting to hear anything back. And there I am sitting at lunch in this production meeting, and suddenly Warren Beatty is on the line. And then, and the first thing he says is, "I'm not doing it."
Well, he's calling you to say he's not doing it?
He's
calling, I love that Warren Beatty just calls to tell people no.
"No, I'm not going to do this." And he said, I just feel it's kind of silly that this is getting all this attention. But and then I think I kind of realized that he was just, he'd seen my name or something, and it just kind of piqued his interest. And so he called, and we started chatting, and I told him that he mispronounced his name because, you know, in Scotland there is a family with the same spelling, but it's pronounced Beatty.
Okay.
And so we had a long talk about Scottish heritage and things like that. And then I said, "Are you sure I can't convince you?" And he said, "No, I'm not coming on." So, "Well, it was really nice talking to you." And
that
was
it. A delightful story.
Yes,
I love that.
Very, what a great gentleman.
Before we wrap up, I also need to mention that Heaven Can Wait also stars Jack Warden, mm-hmm. who was one of my favorite men in cinema and TV. I love Jack Warden.
Mm-hmm.
He's been gone for 12 years. And once a month, I think, God, I love Jack Warden. And I think it's mainly because of Heaven Can Wait. He's delightful.